1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. Man, that song reminds me of just how I don't see things right. And I look around and go, man, it's a great day because the sun is shining and the car started. Or it's a bad day because of this and that. We so easily make decisions based on what we see versus the character of God. Let us remember the character of God is what really matters. God is always good, whether I understand it or not, He's good. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross. It's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you. Lord, thank you for being good. Your very nature is good. God, the Bible says that you are love. And Lord, I'm thankful that you've chosen to make me an outlet for your love and goodness. God, thank you that you've put that into me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your strength. And Lord, as we look at your word, Lord, thank you for the cross. So costly to you, but yet did so much for me. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, help us to make application from this message here this morning. God, that you would meet needs, that you would use your word to meet our needs. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. To the world, the cross is a foolish thing. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. Oh, but for the Christian, it is our rallying cry, is it not? Next week, we will be taking the Lord's Supper together. The Lord's Supper is wonderful on many levels. The fact of communion as we think about the breaking of the body of Christ and the spilling of His blood for our salvation. And then the unity that we find around it with one another. It's wonderful. It's serious. It should be taken like that. So is the cross. But for the Christian, it is the rallying cry. It is the thing that unites us all. And God chose the foolishness of the cross to save the world. Not only that, but to confound the wise, doesn't He? It says, where is the wise? They don't understand the cross. And maybe you found yourself at that same place one day. Long before you met Christ, you mocked the cross. But no man can say that they have gotten to heaven by their own abilities and works. It is by the cross. It is the thing that saves us. The cross is offensive. It was a place for the vilest of criminals. It was a public display of their wrongdoing. Look at Isaiah 53. Look at Isaiah 53. As we look at the cross this morning, Isaiah 53 and verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When Christ was hanging on the cross, no one looked at that and go, that's what I want in my life. No, they didn't say that. They said there was no beauty about it. In verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, for he was wounded for our transgressions. It was not a glorious place. It was an offensive place. It was a vile place. It was an ugly place. The sun closed up that day. The rocks rent. It was an earthquake. It was an awful event. And only God could take such an awful event and make it the rallying cry of the Christian. Now we have the cross displayed, ladies sometimes around their necks, gentlemen embossed on the front of their Bible, perched on the top of our churches, to identify that this place is the place where we celebrate the death of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The cross is an offensive thing. But without the cross, there is no forgiveness. Without the cross, there is no salvation. And God said, I will meet with the human race in one place, and that place is at the foot of the cross. The key component that made that cross so special, we sang about this morning, wasn't just that a man died on the cross. Many of men have died on crosses. But it was the blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross. If I told you how many points I had this morning, you would probably shudder. So we'll just go through. And I understand the time. I understand no one point will be too long. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. There is power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Romans chapter 3. Before we look at this, we live in a house that was built approximately 1850. Our house was the Hamlin Schoolhouse number 1. It used to be a one-room schoolhouse. Say, why are you telling us that? Our house is not new. There's not a square 90-degree corner. There's not a flat floor. Nothing. We're trying to build a room upstairs, and we have to figure out what do we want to work off, what reference point, because nothing is flat and level. And in that, there are accesses in and out of the house, even if we close up all of our doors. Makes the wood stove run good, but sometimes, living out in the country, we get visitors. Say, what kind of visitors? Every now and then a mouse gets in. Say, does that mean you live in a dirty place? No, it's just nice and cozy. They just love Jesus and they want to be part of a Christian family. That's what they want. Well, the other night, approximately 3:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, one of my sons, the youngest of my sons, had to use the restroom, to which someone was already using the restroom, a little mouse. A field mouse, a little thing. It's not a rat. Don't get... say, I'm never going to your house. Okay, all right, fine. If that's what keeps you out, all right. And that little guy was running around and he was screaming for his dear life. So I go running in the bathroom and trying to figure out. And remember Tom and Jerry? Yeah. And remember the maid that... or the keeper of the house? And that's what I felt like I was walking into. He was screaming for his life. And there was a little mouse, not kidding, about this big. So what'd you do? So I grabbed the closest thing, a mop. Found a mop and smashed him over the head. Killed him. Say, oh, sorry. It was either him or HUD, and I'm sorry. There was blood shed that night. But the blood shed did nothing for anybody. There's been many a people that have shed their blood for reasonable and noble causes. But none is the Son of God upon the cross of Calvary. There's power, not just in blood, but there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're going to look at a lot of instances of that. And what does that do for you and I? How does that change us? Romans chapter 3 and verse 25 says this, whom God has sent forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood. Propitiation. The payment. The payment for my sins was by the blood of Jesus Christ. The exchange of my sin for the righteousness of Jesus Christ was made possible and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a glorious thing. That is the only place that our sins can be covered, removed by the cross. That is where payment was made. That was where the exchange happened between Christ and God Himself. The exchange of man's sins for the righteousness of Christ was extremely costly. We've all made big purchases in our life. We've all purchased things and maybe halfway through you realize, this might not have been a good idea. Years ago, we bought a house. Say, the house you live in? No, we actually bought another house. But after we bought the house, it was contingent on the inspection. We had an inspector come through and he looked at the foundation of the house and he said, this is not good. He said, I know you signed, but you have 3 days. This is the inspector. He knew a lot about the realtor laws. He said, you have 3 days to get out of this deal, and you are allowed to take that. Do that, run away, and get away from this place. So there we were, after purchasing a home, returned it, because we were not happy with our purchase. What we were told wasn't what we got. Jesus Christ and God and all His infinite wisdom there made the exchange, and there exchanged the sin of mankind for the righteousness of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. And God says, it is finished. And He was pleased with that purchase. The blood of the propitiation through the death of Christ. Point number two, Revelation chapter 5. The blood of redemption. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred. What is it that purchased us? The blood of Christ. Not only was it the place of the purchase, but it was the very transaction. It was what was paid for. He didn't have to use blood. He didn't use silver and gold. He didn't use rubies and diamonds. He could have given all the planets and all the stars in exchange for the souls of mankind. So how could He do that? Because He owns them all. But He didn't do that. No, He chose the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, on the cross. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. If you're writing, if you're taking notes on the message this morning, number one, the blood of propitiation. Number two, the blood of redemption. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption. How do we have redemption? Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Christianity is a bloody religion prior to the cross. There is only one way to forgiveness, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 4, it defines blood for us. It tells us this: the life of the flesh is in the blood. Yes? If we have doctors or nurses in our midst, no blood equals no life. And the life of the flesh is in this blood. So what did God give up when He gave up His blood? He gave up His life. What did Christ give to redeem us? What did He, when He died on the cross, what did He shed? He shed His life. He redeemed us by giving up His life. For when He paid with His blood, He was paying with His life. redemption, the blood of redemption. There's power in the blood, the power of the blood of propitiation, the power of the blood of redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 22. The blood of remission. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness. You can't get around that. You can't alter that. Say, "I want forgiveness of sins." Then you need the blood of Christ. That is the only way. There's no other way. And so many times people spend a lifetime looking for a shortcut. There is no shortcut. There is no forgiveness without the blood of Christ. Man, how good is the Lord to us? The only way to get to God is through the blood of Christ. The only way to have joy and peace in your soul is through the fellowship with the Lord. And how do I get that? It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know what that means? We're brought close by the blood of Christ. I have access to God the Father, and we'll look at that in a minute. I can have fellowship with the Father, not by my own merit, but by the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. The cross produces the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Point number 5. The blood of justification. Yes, we need forgiveness. But do you understand that forgiveness is not enough? So how could it not be enough? Because we not only need forgiveness, but in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Without justification, there would still be wrath. Justification is treating us just as if we have never sinned. This past week, I was talking to someone about the importance of salvation. And the question was brought up, why do I need to be saved? It's a good question. I'm living a good life. I'm doing okay. I'm enjoying the... Why do I need to be saved? Well, let me explain. Heaven. Let me tell you about heaven. Heaven's a perfect place. Heaven is holy. We all measure goodness by margins. But nothing we know is, outside of the Word of God, completely perfect. And we understand that. We expect that. We're not surprised when a car doesn't start. We're not surprised when we go to the store and they're out of sugar. We're not surprised by that. We understand there's margins of error everywhere. But except the Word of God. And in heaven, it's like that. There is no margin for unholiness. There's no sliver of sin that enters. There's no finite, just one millionth of a particle worth of unpureness. Because it would no longer be 100% pure. So God, in His infinite power and infinite knowledge, not only designed the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, but to then go one step further, much more now, being justified by His blood. Not only forgives our sin, but forgets our sin. We have, last Sunday, I had an opportunity to go to lunch with a couple workers in our prison system. We have someone here that works with criminals. I don't know how they would think if all of a sudden walking in some Sunday was someone that they watched for a number of years. I'm not sure if we humanly possible, if we could possibly forget that. Hey, you look familiar. I think last time I saw you, you were wearing orange. And you had shackles about your ankles. It's tough for us as humans to forget that. But the one that knows all chooses to forgive and forget all of our sins. That when I stand before Him, I stand justified. As if it never even happened. The Bible tells me in Psalm 103, verse 12, that He casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. You say, where is that? God only knows. There's no pinpoint. If you got a globe and you said, where is east, west? I don't know. He says, He placed them in the depths of the sea in Micah 7:19. Yes, the blood of Christ is remission or forgiveness, but the blood of Jesus Christ is justifying. It makes us pure and clean before a holy, righteous God. We have medical tests done, and sometimes they do scans, and sometimes they'll come back and say, I'm sorry, we missed something. The best of materials, the best of testing, the best of medical science, sometimes they miss things. You understand that God would never miss anything. Oh, forgot about that sin. Oh, He forgot about it, all right. It's called justification. And it only happens through the blood of Jesus Christ. Number six. Yes, six. Colossians chapter 1. Let me tell you about the blood of Christ. It's our propitiation. It is our redemption. It is our remission. It is the blood of reconciliation. It is the blood of justification. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Peace. Where does the search for peace take you? Anybody go to... I can't believe there's still bookstores out there. I don't... With the ability that you have to buy things these days, you never even have to leave your house. And they're cheaper. I don't... But to get into the mall, and they have a little Starbucks thing. It's not real Starbucks. It's a fake Starbucks. But they're still at Barnes & Noble. They sell Starbucks stuff, and they dress in Starbucks outfits. You walk through there, and going through, they have a very large section of self-help books. Why? Why do they do that? Because they want you, people have made millions and millions of dollars of trying to meet a need outside of Christ. They want you to have peace in your soul without Jesus. Here's what you need to do. Let's talk about travel. Let's talk about self-fulfillment. Let's talk about self-worth. Let's talk about self-esteem. Let's talk about self-gratification and self-enlightenment. All of those trying to help you get peace in your soul over your sin. Colossians 1:20 tells us this, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. I'm here to tell you there is no permanent peace outside of the cross. He can take a thief and give him peace. He can take the vilest of sinners, an enemy of God, and give him peace in his heart. Where does the search for peace take you? Oh, I just need to get here. I need this thing, or I need to go to this place, or I need this feeling in my life. Hey, nothing that the blood of Christ can't do. The feeling of peace. The blood of peace. Seventh, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. And we're almost done. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Hebrews 10:19. How is it possible that I could stand before a holy God? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. When they used to go into the holy of holies, or the most holy place, they better come equipped with something, the high priest. Blood. Hey, when I come before and I stand before a holy, righteous God, I better come equipped with something. As I have the blood of entrance, as I can stand before God, again, not by my own self-righteousness, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Understand, the application of the blood of Christ takes humility. Admitting that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And that allows me to have a presence with God. Look at Luke chapter 18. All too often, we come to God like this. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Oh, the blood of Christ is wonderful. Look at all the things that's done for us. How good is God? We sang about that. And we're just looking, not even at fully at the cross. We're looking at the blood shed on the cross. Look at all these things that is done. Why is the blood necessary? Look at all of this. Luke chapter 18. Too many times we come to God like this. And He spake this parable in verse 9. Luke 18, 9. And He spake this parable unto the certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This person actually thought they were worthy to stand before God. I'm not worthy to stand before God. The only way I have entrance is by the blood of Christ. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men. I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So many times we come before God and we believe that we deserve to stand there, that our self-righteousness has allowed us entrance. You do not deserve to be in heaven. No, the only thing that I can claim is that I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me. That is my key of entrance. A couple weeks ago, we were doing a kids' day over at Selden Square. Remember that? That was a couple weeks ago, I think. It was over Labor Day weekend, and the person that set it up sent me an email and said, hey, you're all squared away to go, but we're going on, the people that are in charge of management are going out of town because it's Labor Day weekend. So you got to make sure you get here Wednesday to get the key. Sure, no problem. It was in writing, I saw it. Was it Saturday? It was on a Saturday. Saturday morning, I'm sitting there just reviewing the day, and I thought, I don't have access to the room. I do not have a key. So I sent a message to the person that's in charge over Labor Day weekend, and they weren't getting back to me within seconds, making me very nervous because we wanted to have some 20 kids here, and we don't have access to the room. Finally got in touch with somebody, and he gave me the passcode to get in. There's a little passcode with a lockbox on the outside. Have you ever seen these? You type in a series of numbers or whatever it is, and all of a sudden the little door opens, and then there's a key inside. So it is with heaven. We stand at the door. Why do you get to come in? because of all these wonderful things I've done. Denied. Because of how wealthy I am. Denied. Because of how kind I've been to others. Appreciate your kindness. Denied. Because I fast twice in a week and I study the scriptures. Denied. Because I'm a vile sinner who's called upon the name of God to forgive him. And it's only by the blood of Jesus I stand here. Come on in. Access granted. The blood of Jesus allows me entrance to a holy, righteous God. And it is the only claim I have to get in. Lastly, 1 John chapter 1. So, Pastor, why does that bring tears to your eyes? Because I know who I am. I know what I deserve and I know where I ought to be. And I don't have any of it. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Lastly, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, what does it do? It cleanses us from all our sin. It cleanses us from all sin. Martin Luther was in an argument with the devil. And the devil comes and he says, Martin, I want you to make a list of all your sins. He made a list and the devil says, is that all? He says, no, there's more. He wrote them. The devil responds, is that all you have, Martin? Is that all your sins? He said, yeah, that is all. He says, and then what can you do with that? And he said, in his mind he drew a line and he said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all of it. And the devil has no play. See, there's no money, there's no kindness, there's no guilt, or no gift that will cleanse us from sin. Only trusting in the atonement of Jesus Christ. It is the only way of salvation. And if it's the only way, it ought to be the only thing we're proclaiming. But we ought to proclaim it. The blood of Christ, the cross of Calvary, what is it? It's the blood of propitiation. It is the blood of redemption. It is the blood of remission. It is the blood of reconciliation. It makes us good with God. It is the blood of justification. It is the blood of peace. It is the blood of entrance. It is the blood that cleanses. And then I come to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Say, that was great to save me. It took me down a road. It reminded me of who I am and what God did and expounded on the simple truth. Hey, how many of you knew that when you got saved? I had no idea about all that. I didn't understand justification, nor could I have even spelled it. No idea. No idea about forgiveness. No idea about cleansing me. No idea about the entrance. No idea about the peace that passes all understanding. And no idea about any of that. But I'm sure glad I got a hold of it now. But now what? Is that it? Is that where we end? Is that the end of the message? Is that, oh, we could end right there. But is there something further? In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. We ought not to leave the cross way back at Calvary, We ought not to leave the cross embossed on our Bible, hanging around our neck. No, every single day we ought to take up that cross and carry our cross. You understand the cross is heavy? Do you understand the cross is not? It's not an easy cross. But tomorrow when you return back to your workplace, you ought to come with something. The blood of Jesus Christ. And as a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, as you walk into that place, yes, you will experience ridicule. Yes, you will experience mockings. But so did He. And as you experience all of those things, that is what we are to do daily. When was the last time that you picked up your cross and followed Christ? When was the last time that I said, I'm going to put my self-will aside? Now I'm going to put aside my own personal comforts and I'm going to follow after Jesus, not caring what it costs me. If it costs me my job, so be it. If it costs me my friend, so be it. If it costs me money, so be it. When was the last day that you put aside your sin and picked up a cross and followed Christ? The blood of Jesus Christ, there's power in the blood. And we sing about it. The last verse of that song, was it 23? It says this, would you do service for Jesus, your King? Hey, I'm safe. My burden's been lifted. All of those things are wonderful. Evilness is gone. I've been cleansed. My sin stains are washed away. But would you do service? Would you daily pick up your cross and follow Him? Would you live daily His praises to sing? We sang that song this morning. Are we willing to take up our cross? There's power in it. There's power in it to change lives. Anybody can provide pizza and bounce houses and wonderful events. The world does that. Comfortable seating, air conditioning, ice cream socials, popcorn, hay rides, crafts. But there's something that Christianity or the church ought to supply that the world cannot. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. They ought to be able to come in and experience something that they can't get anywhere else. They ought to see prayers answered. They ought to see the blood of Christ active in somebody's life. They ought to see some people carrying a cross. Real Christianity. Are we willing? Are we willing to do that? To take up our cross daily and follow Him. Let's all stand. Hey, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, say, there were no visitors here this morning, Pastor. Yeah, but that doesn't mean there's not someone here that's not trusted Christ. If you're here this morning and you've not been picking up your cross, how often? Daily. If you've not picked up your cross to daily follow Him, maybe you need to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to get over myself. Help me to get over my own self-righteousness. I saw so much of myself in the Pharisee that I stand before God because I think I'm good enough to do so. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to pick up my cross daily and follow Him. Heavenly Father, I ask You to bless this time of invitation now. Lord, whatever it is that You're talking to us about, Lord, maybe we want to come and pray for that peace only found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe we want to come and just thank you for all that the blood of the cross has done for us. But maybe there's some that want to come and pray and ask for strength and wisdom to be able to take up their cross daily, even if it costs them to follow you. Lord, help us with these things, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Is there...